Well, good morning once again. Did anyone feel like Jody's probably standing at the back? You know, let's kind of had that look there, but hopefully you have all of the information that you need about things that are upcoming. Of course, we have a bulletin available on your way in as well, and we can always encourage you to head to the website. So we are really excited about lots of things that are happening around this place. Yesterday, there were a number of us who were involved in the Uganda Water Project 5K. I met my goal of finishing under my own power, so that worked out well, and just really proud of our entire VCC community, family, friends who responded so well. Actually, a couple of teams represented within our church family, and then after the race, as they're announcing different things, just to hear about the impact of clean water and the gospel for those in Uganda. And very grateful for that. And happy to let you know, in case you weren't tracking at home, that that event yesterday raised over $100,000 for the work of UWP. So, yeah, very grateful for that and excited about the days ahead as they continue to minister there across the globe. Well, as has been mentioned a few times this morning, we are on mission to make loving disciples of Jesus Christ. That is our mission, and that is the foundation of the 24/7 Initiative, which is this series through the month of April that we're going to be in on Sunday mornings. If you are just visiting, checking things out, maybe someone invited you, or you just happen to be in the area, this is what we're about. We're about making disciples, because that's what task Jesus left with his followers. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, now go, you disciples, now you go and make disciples. And we are not only the recipients of that, but we are also now carrying the responsibility of that. We're both, right? Because somewhere along the way, we've become disciples if we put our faith in Christ. And part of that is that we are to make disciples, loving disciples of Jesus Christ who worship, grow, serve, and share. And as we've talked about in the past, taken right out of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that's the Great Commission, or as I like to say, the Great Co-mission. It's what God is about, and it's what he invites us to be on mission with him. He gives the promise at the end of verse 20 that he will never leave us or forsake us. So we are in this together. And because of that, there are some things that we value based, as you can imagine, right out of that mission statement. But we value authentic faith in Christ. We value that. We encourage that. We want to see individuals put their faith in Christ. Beyond that, we value personal growth. It's not just a simple thing of, well, I made a decision that I trust Jesus, and then that's it. I guess I'm good now. That's just the rain. Don't worry about it. Does anybody else hear that? Yeah. It's Jesus' rain. Thank you for that clarification. Scripture does say rain falls on the just and unjust alike. And you can be praying now that there's a little break from when you leave this building and get to your car door. We'll see how the Lord responds to that. But anyway, don't worry about that. You won't need to deal with that for a while. Personal growth. We want you to grow. Scripture says that we become more and more in the image of Jesus. In other words, what that means is as we grow, we reflect God more in how we go about life here on earth, how we interact with people, the things that are our priorities, the kind of decisions we make, the actions that we take. So we value personal growth. We value sacrificial service, the serving of one another, the being willing to use our gifts and our talents to build the kingdom. And then lastly, we value boldly sharing the gospel. We don't want to be shy about the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, Scripture tells us. So we want to be bold with that. We don't want to shy away from saying, hey, if you're lost, if you're searching, if you're wondering about the spiritual side of things because you've always been focused on the intellectual and the emotional and the physical, and recognizing, wait a minute, there's something beyond all of that. There's something more than just what I do day in and day out. It's not just you live, you die, and that's it. There's something more. And so we value boldly sharing the gospel, saying there is more. There is more to this life. And God provides that to us. And so as we talk about these things, and as we have talked about the 24/7 initiative, there are two aspects to that. One is there's some opportunities that we believe God has brought to us as a church in the year 2024. That's kind of the second half. Those opportunities exist because our desire is that we would be followers of Jesus 24/7. That as we go through our lives day in and day out, there's not this segmented or compartmentalized aspect to our relationship with Christ. In other words, let me be very blunt. I'm not just worried about God and being a Christian on Sunday mornings from 9 to 11:30. And then I just go live the rest of my life. That we are walking followers of Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever we go, whatever we do. And so that's what we're talking about in this short series, the 24/7 initiative, is what does it look like to walk with him 24/7? And scripture outlines some things that are true about a follower of Jesus and what's true in their lives. Hey, welcome back. I just saw you guys, and I don't know if I'll see you after service. It's totally distracted. So you wonder what goes through my mind when I'm up here? Lots of things go through my mind when I'm up here. And I see lots of things, by the way. So now you're as distracted as I am. In review, last week we talked about the fact that we need to be biblically rooted, that the foundation of our faith has to find its roots back in Scripture. Joshua 1:8. Throw that up on the screen. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. One of the things that we recognize as God gave instruction specifically to Joshua as he was coming in and filling the void behind Moses' leadership, and Joshua had this immense task to do something that this awesome, iconic leader Moses hadn't done or wasn't able to do up to that point. And God says, Joshua, you're going to do that. And he says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to do everything that I instruct to you, and then you will be prosperous and successful. And we see that God says, when we follow his word, when we follow his leadership, that we will be successful and prosperous in what we do. I had someone ask me this week, side conversation, I said, hey, that passage you talked about on Sunday in the book of Joshua, at the end, how come it says for anybody who doesn't follow that, they're going to be put to death? If you kept reading, it would say that. And I said, because that tells us how seriously God takes us following his word. And I think God had probably had enough of people complaining and not following his word. That's the whole reason they weren't in the promised land yet. And so we talked about the importance that we be biblically rooted and how much interaction do we have, how much do we time and effort do we spend studying God's word, reading it, getting to know it. And I mentioned last week, if you don't have a copy of God's word, then you should take one from under one of the chairs around you, write your name in it and take it with you because that's yours. It's so important that we are founded and rooted in the word of God. The other thing we talked about last week is that we need to be God-focused. God-focused. From 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Where is my focus? And as we continue in these passages of scripture that describe what it looks like to walk with God 24/7, you're going to see some dovetailing of scripture and principles. Because this says, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. And last week we talked about the fact that we need to be focused on God. And we talked about some things that help us focus and some things that don't. But you also see the word strength in there. Look to the Lord and his strength. And that's our first real point for this week, new point, that we find in Psalm 16, verse 8. And if you have a Bible, why don't we turn there? We're going to spend most of our time in the book of Psalms. So if you get to the book of Psalms, you'll be close and you'll just flip pages here and there, all right? Psalm 16, verse 8. I just gave you a sneak preview of where we're going to be for the second point in Psalm 34, but don't go there yet. Psalm 16, verse 8, and really looking at verses 7 and 8. And here's what David said: I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Because God is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. David understood where true strength came from. It wasn't feats of strength, and certainly David could have said, hey, look what I did. I killed Goliath. But he understood that true strength comes from faith in God. And that's where we look for our strength. That's where we lean to for our strength. And not just strength for like these, you know, these feats of things, but strength to get through the life that we live. Right? If you're a little bit older vintage like I am, you know, you might remember Popeye, right? How many remember Popeye? Oh, a lot of you do. Great. I don't feel that old anymore. Thanks. So, you know, when Popeye needed strength, what did he do? Open the can of spinach, right? And everyone knew what Popeye's source of strength was, right? It was obvious, it was clear, and it was consistent every time. You know, I wonder if for the believer, there's some sort of can that we go, this, I'm just looking to the Lord. That's my strength. Like when I'm struggling, when I need that extra dose of something, like it's not a can of spinach, it's my relationship with God. That's the source of my strength. And that's what David was reflecting. And over again in the Psalms, we see David's reflection of that. Let's be honest, there's lots of places that in this life we kind of look for strength, right? Or we reflect strength. And not in a bad way. We've got a marriage retreat coming up this coming weekend. Hope you're able to make that. We probably have room for a couple more couples if you say, oh, I totally blew it. I dropped the ball. I can't believe it's this coming weekend. And my spouse and I want to go. See me or Rick Reefer after, or we'll figure out how to get you there. There's still a couple of spots. Love to have you be a part of that. But a lot of times, spouses will make the statement, oh, my wife, my husband, they're my rock. Now, that's not a bad thing, but I will say that shouldn't be the ultimate thing. And that's a very common and a very good source of strength because of relationship, right? That's why. It's not like you picked them out of a lineup somewhere and said, oh, that person. It's because of relationship. And that is why God is the ultimate source of strength, because of our relationship with him. If you don't know God, if you've never put your faith and trust in him, probably up to this point in your life, you don't look at God as a source of strength. But because of relationship, David recognized and he reflects for us a principle that's true, and that is that the Lord is our strength and the one that we can lean on and lean into through every season, every phase, every circumstance of life. David understood that. A few other passages to keep in mind, maybe you jot down in your notes. Psalm 28, verses 6 through 9. As I said, we're going to be in the Psalm. So I'm going to jump over a couple of pages, and you can follow or you can just take some notes. Psalm 28, verses 6 through 9 say this: Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. God is the source of strength for the believer. And I don't know what you may face or what you have faced or what you're about to face that's going to require you recognizing, man, I need some extra strength in the midst of this. But I can tell you, whatever it is, God is going to be a source of strength for you. And will be, no matter what the circumstances, the ultimate source of strength. If we were to flip ahead a few pages to Psalm 121, Psalm 121 is a beautiful opportunity that we have to read about the strength that God provides to us. Listen as I read. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God is our source of strength in any circumstance. We look to him. We cry out to him. It says he won't let our foot slip. He won't let the sun harm us, the circumstances of life, and he will keep us from harm. God is that source of strength. And where does that strength come from? You know, I was running yesterday, like many were in the UWP 5K, and I was thinking, this is tough. And for some reason, Isaiah 40 verse 31 jumped into my head. Anybody know what Isaiah 41 is? It talks about running and not growing weary. And I was like, man, I wish I could lean into that a little bit harder right now. But I recognized as I was running and trying to take my mind off the fact that different parts of my body were not feeling that great, I recognized that when Scripture talks about running and not growing weary, he's not talking about necessarily physical strength. He's talking about running through this life and not being wearied by life, not being wearied by the things of this world. And I can tell you firsthand that when we put our faith in the Lord, when we put our trust in him, the things of this life don't necessarily weary you like they would a person who does not have Christ. And so the question is for us, what's our source of strength? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your relationship with Christ will be a source of strength that is incomparable to anything else in this world. Does that mean that everything will always go perfect for you? No, actually the opposite. It means that in the midst of things not going perfectly for you, you are strengthened because of your faith in Christ. It means that although the circumstances aren't what necessarily you had hoped they would be, you are nevertheless strengthened by your faith in Christ. I wonder who this morning just needs to be reminded that God is your source of strength. Whatever it is, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever the challenge is, whatever makes you think, I'm not sure I can get through to tomorrow, I don't know if I have what it takes to make it one more step, God is your source of strength. He is the one that will hear you when you cry out. He is the one that will respond when your heart cries out to him. So, not only are we biblically rooted, are we God-focused, but we are God-strengthened. The other point for this morning we find, as I said, in Psalm 34, verse 1. It says this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. One of the things that is characteristic of someone who is walking with Jesus 24/7 is that they're praising him. They're praising him. They're worshiping, and that's something that flows out of their life. So, turn to Psalm 34:7. If you were at Psalm 121, you're just back a few pages to Psalm 34. It says this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I'm going to keep reading all the way to verse 8. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. Do you catch the tone of what David's writing? He's not only praising God himself, but he's inviting others to join in that. Praise is a contagious thing when it flows authentically out of a person. Think about it this morning when you came in. I don't know if everyone came in this room, sat down, and you were just ready to go. That'd be great if you were. But my guess is, in a crowd this size, not everybody was just ready to go at the first downbeat. But then what happens? You hear the praise of others. The environment begins to speak to you. You are drawn into worshiping God because of the invitation of others that are around you that are worshiping. Praise is contagious in that way. And that's what David is reflecting. He says, come, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. David's telling us why he's praising God, because God answered him. He delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Then here's this final invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. Come. His praise is overflowing in a way that is inviting to others. That's a pretty cool dynamic going on right there. And that's characteristic of those who are walking with Christ 24/7. Your life and my life. As we are going through our days in relationship with Christ, we have the opportunity to share and express to others how grateful we are for God and how much we praise him and worship him for what's going on. There's been a number of times in my life and in your life, I'm sure, where you've had the opportunity to speak well of God to those who don't know him. To express specific praise for what God has been doing in your life or what he has done in your life. That's part of what it means to walk with Christ 24/7. And this was reflective, quite honestly, of David's constant desire and his actions to praise and worship the Lord. We see that consistently through his life. But that message also goes into the New Testament as well, just briefly mentioned Philippians 4, verse 4. And there are others, but we'll land with this one for now. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when? Not rejoice in the Lord when things are going really perfect in your life. How about rejoice in the Lord when you get that raise? Yeah. How about rejoice in the Lord when you don't get the job that you wanted? Yeah. How about rejoice in the Lord when the doctor's report is exactly what you were hoping for? Yeah. How about rejoice in the Lord when the test results are not exactly what you were hoping for? Yeah. Some of these are harder than others, aren't they? Yeah. And in our own strength, some of these are impossible to think about. I mentioned earlier that so many of these characteristics dovetail with one another. Because I don't know how a person could rejoice always in every circumstance if they're not biblically rooted, if they're not focused on God, if they're not depending on him for their strength. I don't know how you could do it. I don't think you can do it, actually, is what I'm trying to say. And so if this morning, when you hear verses like this and you hear a guy like me stand up and say, we need to praise the Lord in all circumstances with a smile on their face, like this is an easy thing to do, it's not an easy thing to do. But God gives us everything we need to be able to do that. And the most important thing is his presence in our lives. And so don't think for a second that we casually or carelessly say, rejoice in the Lord always, go, be happy, have a great week. Because we know it's so much more than that. We know in the good times, that is probably easy. But when there's questions, when there's disappointment, when there's things that are not exactly what we anticipated or hoped for, we know that that can be a little more challenging. And so please, don't pull one of these out without recognizing the importance of all of these. I I'm not thinking of anything or any person in particular, but I would guess that every single one of us have had situations or moments in life where Philippians 4:4 was either not what we wanted to hear or not what we thought was possible in the moment. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know what? I don't want to hear that right now. Ever been in a situation like that? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But we're not going to shy away from that. We're not going to continue to encourage one another. No matter what happens, let's be strengthened by God. Let Him be our strength. And that strength allow us to rejoice in every circumstance. A couple of questions as we wrap up our time this morning. These are reflective, not looking for you to respond, except in your own heart and mind, but where does your strength come from? Is your strength just, you know, how far down on your bootstraps you can pull up? Or is there a different source of your strength? One that is outside of yourself, one that is outside of creation, actually, that actually set this world in place. Is He your source of strength? And what or who is it that you are always pointing to and praising or worshiping? What is it? What are some of those themes in your life, in your conversations, in your thoughts, in your actions? Who or what are you pointing to and praising or worshiping? Let me give us just a couple of steps maybe this week we can consider. Refine your focus on the Lord. Philippians 4:8 was a verse that was up there that I kind of skipped over and I'm coming back to. It says, whatever is true, whatever is, do you know it? Noble, trustworthy, praiseworthy. That will help refine your focus when you think about those things. And so, as you think about what is your focus as you go through the week, maybe ask the question, what's distracting for me when it comes to God, and what helps me focus on God? What are those things? What's good and what's not good in terms of me keeping my focus on God? And make some decisions about those. And as far as praising Him, let me just suggest that if you don't do this already, that you set aside any amount of time in a given day, but do it daily. Just even if it's 5 minutes, just to say, what can I thank God for today? Because praising Him to others is the overflow of the praise that we have within our own hearts. And so, what is it that I can look at? And sometimes those are the big things and the small things, the personal things and the public things. But are you in the habit? Are you in the habit of spending time to consider what God has done and what you can praise and thank Him for? A couple minutes. I think you'll find, as I have found, that if I set aside 2 minutes, it's not long that I need more than 2 minutes. And if I say 5 minutes will work, it's not long before I need more than 5 minutes. Let me just suggest this phrase to you. It's always good to say thank you. That's a personal hint and a spiritual hint as well. It's always good to say thank you. So can you foster a spirit of praise and worship in you by simply taking a few moments each day to say, God, what today? What can I thank you for today? And I think you'll see, as you allow your attention to be drawn to Him in that way and you are intentional about it, God does some really cool things and God responds, because God desires that relationship as well. He desires it. As I said last week, as we walk with Christ 24/7, we can count on the promise that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which says this: we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are a work in progress. I am a work in progress. Sometimes it's easy to think when someone stands up here with notes and a Bible that it's supposed to be like just the final word. Here's the formula: A plus B equals C. Do this, this will happen, and then you're all done. But that's not what Ephesians says. Ephesians says we are a grandiose work in progress. And so let's keep allowing God to be at work in us. And the second half of that promise: not only are we a work in progress and God's doing his handiwork in our lives, but then he gives us opportunities, which, by the way, he's been working ahead of time for you and I. And so I'll ask that same question I asked last week: what is it that God has for you this week? What opportunities has he been working on for you this week? And would you be willing to ask him that question for you? God, what do you have for me this week? And then keep your eyes open as you walk through the days ahead. Biblically rooted, God-focused, counting on God for your strength, with praise and worship in your heart and on your lips for him. God will do some awesome things when those characteristics are true about those who follow him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend a few moments in your word this morning. We recognize that, Lord, as you have given us these principles, these characteristics, that we desire them in an increasing way, but we have not arrived yet. And so, Lord, would you continue to be at work in us? Help us to grow, to find our strength in you, to be able and willing to express our praise and worship to you. And, Lord, we recognize that we can do these things with you. We're not doing them for you, but as you have promised your presence in our lives, as we walk out that relationship, this is what you do in our lives with you. And so we thank you for that. Lord, may we recognize the opportunities that you have been preparing in advance for us this week. And would we be so in tune and walking with you that we step into every opportunity that you have. Continue to grow us, God. Continue to be at work in our lives. Challenge us, stretch us. And Lord, thank you for your presence in our lives, which makes all this possible. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.